88.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. This morning, our guest is Shasha Wells with the Kansas City Parks and Recreation Department. Good morning, Shasha. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you come to work for the City of Kansas City Parks and Recreation Department?
I was just looking for a new career opportunity, so I applied, and shortly after, they called me in for an interview and offered me the job.
So, how many different centers have you worked at in Kansas City?
I've worked at 4 different centers. I've probably worked at all of them, you know, here and there, but I was stationed out of 4 different centers.
Did you enjoy that?
I did. Got to learn a lot of new different things and meet a lot of new different people.
What is the mission of the Kansas City Parks and Recs Department?
The mission of the Kansas City Parks and Recs Department is to improve the quality of life, health, and wellness in our communities and provide social equality, community-driven programming, and environmental sound natural resource management.
That sounds like a mouthful.
I'm sorry.
You all recently had a anniversary there at the Parks and Recreation Department. You've all been in operation now for how many years?
125.
So that proceeds back. That goes back to the mid-1800s, somewhere in the 18—right about the turn of the century, 1900s is when you all started, so about 1893. So that's a good time to be able to do a lot of things. I know the Parks and Recs Department in Kansas City has 221 parks, 12,242 acres of parkland, 158 miles of trails and bikeways, 29 lakes, hundreds of athletic fields and tennis courts, 106 playgrounds, 5 public golf courses, and miles of scenic boulevards and parkways that crisscross the city, where we have 48 different fountains and 122 monuments. And this is all governed by this one organization. How important is the Parks and Recs Department facilities in building strong neighborhoods and strong communities?
It is very important. I think that ties all into the life expectancy, whether you can trust your neighbors and things like that, and whether you feel, you know, comfortable in your community.
I know you all have multiple facilities, and it wasn't until I came to you all's program that I found out exactly how many different community centers we have in this city. So how many different community centers do we have, and you kind of know where they're located?
Yeah, we have 10 different community centers, and I'll list them all. We have Tony Geary, Lion Creek, Marlboro, Brush Creek, Southeast, Kansas City North, Greg Kleiss, Westport, Garrison, and Hillcrest Community Center.
So that's a lot of different facilities. I know I just grew up I've been down to Greg Kleiss and I've been to Hillcrest, but I didn't know we had some of the venues that we have up north with some of the great things that they have. So how does an individual become a member of the Parks and Rec Community Centers? What do they need to do?
Okay, so you can join or become a member of the Kansas City Parks and Recreations Community Center by visiting those 10 community centers. And I'll list them again: Tony Geary, Lion Creek, Marlboro, Brush Creek, Southeast, Kansas City North, Greg Kleiss, Westport, Garrison, and Hillcrest Community Centers.
Okay. What are some of the amenities available that people can see? I know I'll give one away. I was amazed to find out that we actually have an indoor ice skating rink at one of our facilities. And like Southeast, we have a walking track there. But what are some of the other amenities that people can partake of when they come to a community center?
Okay. Greg Kleiss and Tony Gray both have heated swimming pools, so that's a cool aspect of that. Exercise equipment at our community centers. art and leisure programming. So there's a variety of things to do at each community center.
Okay, I know also that we have the 3rd District meeting at Greg Fleiss, and then the 5th District meeting is located in the southeast, so I know you definitely have meeting rooms. My granddaughter had her birthday party there. So what are some of the youth programs that you may have?
We have open basketball, and that's it kind of differs throughout each community center depending on the time, but I suggest you call the community centers to find out the times. We have a job fair coming up at Greg Fleiss Community Center. With QPS on March 27th. And to find out details about that, you can call me at Brush Creek Community Center. We have our summer programming starting with the mayor, Club KC, for the youth coming up as well.
On the line, we have Roosevelt Lyons, who is the one of the Parks and Rec supervisors. Good morning, Roosevelt. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me call in.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you do with the Kansas City Parks and Recreation Department to keep everything smooth? And
sure. Yeah, I'd love to. And I'll apologize in the background. You might hear my daughter, but I'm the superintendent of Parks and Recreation, and I manage our community services division, which usually is called the Recreation Division. That division's made up of 10 community centers and Lakeside Nature Center. We have a little over 100 employees. We also manage our aquatics facilities and athletic fields, so basketball courts, ballparks, and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, we just that's my job. I have the awesome opportunity to work with some great people there and do some great things for our community.
What are some of the youth programs that you all may have for those that are, say, under 18, the parents can bring their children down to partake of?
Yeah, and Sasha can also jump in on this. So we actually focus a lot of our time on youth programming. It's one of the things that the citizens of Kansas City expect from us. So right now we currently have a basketball tournament coming up this weekend, the Sam Lacy tournament. But we have after-school programs, so parents can bring their kids to any of our facilities. Currently all of our facilities are free for kids under 18, so for middle school and high school kids who are looking for a place just to hang out and play basketball and be with each other, they can stop into any of our community centers and do that. We have free swim lessons right now, so and those are free for anybody, not just youth, but for adults as well, because we think it's important for kids to learn how to swim. We have a number of after-school programs going on right now at our facilities, and we work with some charter schools on those, where we bus kids to our facilities and keep them there until mom and dad get off work. Coming up, we're actually getting ready for our summers are really, really big time. So this is when we do a lot of our summer camps for kids, as well as our Club KC program for middle school and high school kids, and Mayor's Night Hoops and Night Kicks and all that stuff.
Well, as you mentioned that, we'll skip forward a little bit. When does the Mayor's Summer Night program really start for the summer? I know because school's out and kids have nowhere to go, and, you know, sometimes if you've got nowhere to go, you'll find something to get into. So when do those programs start, and what kind of programs are available?
Yeah, so they...
Go ahead.
The Mayor's Summer programming starts Memorial Weekend.
And what type of programs are available? I know, basketball, soccer, what type of things will there be for children to do,
yeah,
youth?
Club KC, and that's for middle school and high schoolers. We have night kicks, night nets, and night hoops, and also summer camps for ages 7 to 13.
And what age range? Go ahead.
If I could just jump in on that a little bit. So a couple of things. I had the opportunity a few years ago to work with the, I actually worked in the mayor's office to start the Club KC program. I want to say 6 years ago now. It's been an awesome program for middle school and high school kids. On average, we have somewhere between 10 to 12,000 kids visit our community centers every summer. And that's, again, for middle school and high school on the weekend, on Friday, Saturday nights. We keep our centers open, and we have music and dancing and poetry and programming throughout the evening all the way till up until midnight for kids. So it's a safe place for kids to go. We work real close with KCPD. They provide the security for us. And we also work with a lot of community partners. So we've taking our programming outside of our facilities, the Boys and Girls Club, to the libraries, to Nelson Atkins Museum. So we try to get outside of YMCAs. We've programmed at YMCAs. There's an RFP, a request for proposals right now for those individuals or organizations who are interested in helping provide for that programming on the city's website. And like Sasha said, our summer camps are a really big program. We have around 400 kids in summer camps every summer. So.
Okay. So what is the age for the summer youth program designed for? Is it from 5 to 10 or 5 to 20? What's the age?
For Club KC, we do middle school and high school, so we don't put an age limit on that. As long as you're in middle school or high school, and you can bring an ID from your school. For some of our older programs, like Night Hoops, which has been around for over 20 years, we start as young as 8 and go all the way up to 20. Same thing with Night Kicks, which is a soccer program. And then a much smaller program that we hope to grow is our Night Nets program, which is volleyball. Again, all those programs serve kids 8 to 20. And then we have our summer camps, which are for kids 7 to 13.
Okay. We've got a caller. Caller, go ahead. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling in from?
My name is Akers Ace. I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri.
What's your question for Mr. Lyons? Go ahead, Mr. Ace.
The new parade park, all those parks, they're responsible for taking care of all of them. And between games, if they have more than one game, stuff like that, Parks and Recreation take care of all that.
Thank you, Mr. Ace, for your question. This is not fair. Roosevelt, so is the Parks and Rec responsible for the new Major League Baseball fields downtown? You know, that was a collaboration between the city, Major League Baseball, and I think former Royal George Brett gave money. So who is responsible for that, and can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I believe you guys are referring to the Kansas City Urban Youth Academy.
Correct.
That facility is on Parks property. It's not a ran by our Parks Department. That is a Major League Baseball facility. And they have their own employees who manage and take care of that facility, the fields, the facility itself, and they program it. They, if you want to go and, you know, participate in their programming, I see you in contact. We do work really closely with them on programming and providing, you know, outreach and things like that for the community, but that facility and the maintenance of it itself is actually provided by Major League Baseball and their employees.
So we've got a partnership there, so it's not an asset that you all have to maintain. It's an asset that Major League Baseball helps us to maintain. Like they do, I think there's like 5 other of those centers like that around the nation.
That's correct, yes.
So let me ask this question. We talked about the Night Hoops, you know, the Night Kicks you're trying to do. Do you all have any opportunities for youth during the summer for summer employment, summer internships, things like that, to get them, you know, in some cases a few dollars in their pocket, but also to get them started finding out the great work that you all do there, and then maybe in a couple of years when they graduate, they may become employees of the Parks and Rec Department?
Yeah, we actually employ throughout the summer somewhere between 50 to 60 kids every summer. Not just kids, but adults as well. So through our we actually hire seasonal staff throughout the summer as recreation leaders, which there's a job posting right now on the city's website. And those are mostly seasonal staff who work at our summer camps. So they would assist our staff like Sasha and provide quality structured programming for young kids. We also work with the mayor's office, and they have their Hire KC initiative. And they hire somewhere around 100 kids every summer to work in different departments within the city. And we're one of those departments that gets somewhere around 30 or so kids every summer. And that's available for kids 16 and older. And we employ a lot of them also in our summer camps and in Mayor's Night programs. But throughout the year, we also hire a lot of young people. We're always looking for lifeguards throughout the year. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years about a lifeguard shortage. So it's a really hard position to fill, but it's a really good job. We actually have one of our center directors over at Greg Class Community Center started off as a lifeguard. Our current athletics director started off as a lifeguard. It's a really good job. Even if you don't know how to swim, we'll teach you how to swim, get you certified, teach you CPR, and hopefully you want to come work with us. So That's a job we're always, always looking for candidates to fill.
And that is definitely great, because I know a lot of kids don't know a lot about water safety, and they, you know, not knowing how to swim, growing up in the city, they don't know how to swim. And then when there's someplace where there's water, you know, they can quickly, something can quickly turn deadly and become an accident. So that's a great thing to be able to teach them how to swim. I know that's a program many, many years ago when I was 12, when they had used to have swim lessons at Swope Park, and I went out there to learn how to swim. We started out as tadpoles, and we progressed where we were jumping off the high dive. So let me ask this question. So when you have children or youth come to the centers, do they need to be accompanied by adult for programming or individual over 18?
Currently, if they are 16 and over, they can come and they can be unaccompanied. And actually, I think that actual age is 14. I have to go back and check our policy. They can come and unaccompanied. Below, I'm going to say 14, they actually have to have adult supervision or be enrolled in a program. So if they're in a basketball league or something like that, a mom and dad drop them off, that's fine. For those younger kids, try to discourage, unsupervised or parents not knowing where the kid is. That's kind of a liability for us. But if they're 14 and over, they can come to our facilities. Like I said, it's right now it's a free membership. They can go through a fitness orientation and get acclimated to the fitness machines and the weights and use those. So it's a really good opportunity for young kids.
So, let me ask this question for Sasha. What type of programs do you offer for adults that may want to come down and partake at the community centers, you know, to learn more about it and get things going?
Right now we have the LifeX program, and what that is we teamed up with the health department. The health department released a study showing that certain zip codes in Kansas City, life expectancy were decreasing. So we teamed up with the health department to do something about that. We're offering certain people who live in those communities or who lives in those low life expectancy areas 2-year passes to the community centers. Also, other adult programming, we have swimming lessons that are free at Tony Aguirre and Brooke and Greg Kleist Community Center. Also during the summer at Brush Creek because we have an outdoor pool. We have ice skating and other art programming as well for adults.
We've got a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and what your question is and where you're calling from?
Yeah, my name is Tom, and I'm calling from the Westport area.
Good morning,
and,
Tom.
Hi. I was listening to your the superintendent talk about programs for youth in the evenings, and it reminded me of a kind of an ongoing issue and concern for the community, and that is when middle school and high school age kids go down to the Country Club Plaza and just kind of chill. And I was down there Friday night and just to kind of check out what was going on, and it seems to me that this is going to continue into the summer. And I was just wondering, you know, if there was any, and I understand what he was saying about, you know, there's in regards to the baseball field over there, that, you know, that's their deal. They own that property and they're running it. And the same with Central Coast Plaza, and that's private property, whatever. But, you know, it just seems to me that your expertise with providing programs at night, you know, that might be a good partnership to kind of build off because these kids down there, they don't have any adult supervision. There's no guidance. They're just kind of chilling. So anyway, I'll listen to your answer on the radio. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tom, for calling. Go ahead, Roosevelt. Could you talk about that maybe just for a second here?
Yeah. I previous to my job here with Parks and Recreation, I worked in the mayor's office, and back in 2012, or 2011 was, I believe, the summer when the mayor was down the plaza, and some kids were down there and they started shooting. So from there, the mayor decided to do something about it. And one of the things that the mayor always has said for the last 6 years is that you can't tell kids where they can't go, but you have to provide a place to go. And that's our job in Parks and Recreation. Our job is to provide places for kids to go. We never want to, you know, we're not the police. That is private property there. But we have over the last 6 years since that incident. Like I said, I was there in the mayor's office when we created the Club KC program, and I continue to manage that program in the park side now. Rush Creek Community Center, which is just down the street from the plaza, that we've had that, we keep that facility open Friday and Saturday nights, and we provide structured programming with, again, with KCPD security. We've had as many as 400 kids in that building over the weekends. That's been a really popular program for high school kids and middle school kids. So we do our part by offering that place for kids to go and those structured activities and that adult supervision. That said, you know, if a kid wants to act a fool, if a kid wants to go down to the plaza and do something stupid, we can't necessarily stop them. But what we do is we offer an alternative, a safe alternative, with the hopes of you know, one of the problems that happens is when you get that many kids or that many anybody, adults in one place concentrated, that's when you kind of have those problems. So we try to get, you know, as many kids in our facilities as we can, and keep a lot of them off the streets. And we're, you know, we might never get them all, but we definitely feel like we do our part helping out with that situation.
Well, not only that, but what people don't, a lot of people don't know, the city's curfew does not take effect until Memorial Day weekend. So when we get those nice warm weather days, you know, right now, you know, it's hot one day, it's cold the next, you know, on a weekend and kids are out, they're looking for some place to go. So the city does have a citywide curfew for the five areas. I think it's Westport, the Plaza, Zona Rosa, the 18th and Vine, and there's one other place. So, but that curfew doesn't take effect until Memorial Day. So it's one of those things where, you know, as you said, you can't have a catch-all for everything, but you try to do what you can. We got a caller. Can you tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what your question is for Superintendent?
Yeah.
Lance.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead. Good morning.
Yeah, my name's Jeff. I'm over on the east side, and I've been hearing rumors for some time now that there's plans for a new community center in northeast Kansas City. I just wonder whether there's any news on that they can share. And I'll take my message off the air.
Thank you, caller. Can you talk about that, Roosevelt? I know the city's built a new some new soccer fields over there, but there's been a rumor about a new community center. Any information on that?
Yeah, not a lot of information. I can tell you it's a continued conversation over in the Parks Department, and it's actually something we have been talking about pretty heavily the last couple of months. We do have a nice and Van Brunt soccer complex over there, which we'll be putting a lot more resources into, a lot more staff and a lot more structured programming there. We are, there's a couple of things. So a community center over there is actually one of our board. We're governed by a board of commissioners. So that's one of their priorities there. Of course, the issue is always finding funding for those facilities, which is a hard thing to do right now. Our funding is through a sales tax, which covers the cost of operating facilities and, you know, on the park side, mowing grass and all those kind of things. What we don't have is actual capital money to build new facilities. And a lot of that is usually either comes through the city's general fund or, you know, you finance it, which oftentimes requires a vote by the residents of Kansas City to take on that kind of obligation. We are looking at different options to help lower that cost. So we are right now in talks with Kansas City Public Schools and looking at Woodland Elementary School right now, which is a building that's been repurposed. And we're looking at that facility. There's some parts of that facility, a gym and a swimming pool that are currently not in use. We're trying to decide if it's feasible to renovate that and use that facility. But it is a continued conversation in our department. It's a growing part of the city that has a large influx of new residents, and it's a part of the city we know we really want to make sure that we're providing services and doing what we can there. So I think we'll get there at some point, but you know, it's always a process of trying to find the right avenue to do that. That's going to be fiscally responsible and all that for the citizens of Kansas City.
I definitely understand that, Sasha. So what type of when you look at adults, is your adult programming for those 18 or over or 21 or over?
We have some of both.
What types of different do you have for those? What kind of programs?
Like I stated before, we have swimming lessons, the LifeX program right now, which allows people who live in those community centers 2-year free pass if they participate in the study. You don't have to actually participate in the study given by the health department, but it's the purpose of it is to increase the life expectancy. We have night kicks and night nets and night hoops as well during the summer programming for adults.
Not to leave out our growing number of active older adults, what type of programs do you have for the active older adults in our community?
Yes, you cannot forget about those members as well. We have a couple fitness classes, well, more than just a couple. I'll just name a couple. We have chair exercises over at Greg Klyas. We have yoga. We have water aerobics. We have senior computer classes. Yeah, off the top of my head, those are some senior active and aging programming.
Do you have any programs for... Hey. Go ahead, Roosevelt.
Hey, Joe, can I help just say that?
Sure.
Almost all of our facilities have our silver speaker sites, which often is covered under most insurance, a lot of insurance, I should say. So if your insurance covers provide silver speakers as a benefit, then I want to say all eight of them, we have eight centers, maybe there's two of them, I think, that aren't currently silver speaker sites. Where you can go, like Sasha said, take a chair exercise class. That we do some Silver Splash, which is the water aerobics class, at no cost to them. Often, usually their insurance will cover that cost. So, like I said, almost all of our facilities are Silver Speaker certified sites. So, just check your insurance and stuff on it.
That's a great opportunity, definitely for our seniors whose incomes may be limited, that they can use something that they already have to get something that we vitally need and help them expand their life. What type of programs do you may have for the entire family? Do you have any programs where the entire family can, mom, dad, and you know, one or two children may come down and be able to be involved and engaged?
Hey, can I jump in on this question real quick?
Sure.
So this is actually a place where we've been talking a lot about. Because I'll be honest, we don't have enough classes for adults and kids together, for families. And it's the place where we think there's a lot of room and we get a lot of, I don't say we get a lot of feedback, but I think it's a place where, a programming area where there's a lot of potential. So we've been talking to some different organizations about how do we do that. We've been talking to some, there's some groups, some daycare groups and things like that where, if we can go on site to say a child care facility, you know, around pickup time, if we offer a program for families there, what we don't want to do is add to the, you know, the busy schedules of families already. If you're juggling kids' activities and all that, and try to squeeze in one more activity. So we've been talking a lot about how can we get our programming to those parents in an easy way, you know, even if it's programming that's geared towards adults offering, you know, child care. Either at our site or at another site, so that parents can participate in a yoga class or a Zumba class or whatever it is that they want to do without having to worry about childcare. Which I'll also say we at Southeast Community Center, we'll be putting in a childcare, a day watch, you know, childcare facility there, coming up this fall, for parents who, you know, want to come work out and don't have anything to do with their kids. You know, that's a pretty big barrier. But yeah, definitely on the weekends we're looking at how do we provide a lot more programming to the whole family so that they can all come out together and participate. We are wide open to ideas and whatever works for adults, whatever they want us to do, we'll do it.
That's great. So, Sasha, is a family or community member limited to only using one community center, the one nearest their house, or can they use any of the city centers across the city?
No, if you have a membership or a member pass, then you can use any of our locations.
Okay, so that means you can partake of walking at Southeast Community Center when the weather's like it is now, or you can go to you can go up to the ones up north and go ice skating. So it's a great opportunity. So you get, it's not like say some of the other places where you may join one place but you're limited to that. So now you can essentially go anywhere and enjoy any of the community center amenities.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a short.
Roosevelt. I'm going to keep jumping in here just real quick. Our pass is, I think it's a great value. It includes all 10 of our community centers. It includes, you can go participate in any of the classes our staff teaches. So that's a Zumba class or an aerobics class. Access to our pools, access to our gym facilities. You can go play basketball, ice skate. So for the money, it is probably one of the best, deals out there.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get more into the LifeX program. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Hey, it's Junebug, and it's that time again for the Blues Kitchen Live. Going to go down at BB's Lawnside Barbecue on March 10th on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Make sure you wear your pajamas. This is a benefit for KKFI, your community radio station. Don't forget, Bloody Marys, breakfast, and blues. We've got the Big Three with John Paul Drum, also Taylor Smith Band. It's going to be a rockin' time. It's the Blues Kitchen Live at BB's Lawnside Barbecue. That's March 10th, Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Hope to see you there. You can get more information and ticket info at kkfi.org.
Our food system isn't broken. It just never worked in the first place. Food First's Eric Holt Jimenez on Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
This week on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
Climate's impacting us now here and our children more, and climate solutions are good for our health. And it's not a question of having the solutions available, it's a question of implementing them.
It's climate health, your health. Prevention is protection. On The Bioneers.
9:30 Friday morning.
1 year later, the Women's March revisited. Voices from D.C., New York, Nairobi, Bogota, and more on Wings, Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Sustainability in the schools. Dee Jensen Adams, Energy and Sustainability Manager for the Kansas City Public Schools, talks about what that means on Eco Radio KC, Monday at 6 p.m.
And we're back. This is Joseph Jackson, your host of Cowtown Conversations. And today our guests are Sasha Wells with the Kansas City Parks and Recs Department and Roosevelt Lyons, who's the superintendent of Kansas City Parks and Recs Department. A zip code is a five-digit number meant to give mail to people, but in many areas across the nation, where you live determines how long you live. Unfortunately, many United States cities and communities have significant gaps in life expectancy, often for residents less than a mile apart. Louisville, Kentucky, a city similar to Kansas City in nature, suffered with this problem, and they have now worked hard and have reduced the life gap to less than 4 years. So I know, Sasha, in Kansas City, the second city council district, there's a 7.9-year difference from the second district, which life expectancy is 80.9 years, while in the third district, the urban core of the city, the life expectancy is 73 years. There's a 12.8-year gap from zip code 64158, where it's 82.8 years, and zip code 64109 and 64126, where it's only 70 years. The 64109 and 64126 zip codes are two of the lowest life expectancies in Kansas City. And this information is from the 2016 to 2021 Community Health Improvement Plan, or CHIP. In Kansas City in 2015, we were one of 8 cities to receive the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Culture of Health Award for reducing health inequities as a matter of social justice. So you're here today to really talk about the LifeX program. Roosevelt and Sasha, tell us about the LifeX program. How does it work, and what is it?
I'll go first here. I kind of talk about how we got to this point.
Sure.
So the health department, the city's health department, actually, they have this goal of, you know, increasing the life expectancy of all Kansas City residents. So that's a pretty big goal. And one of the things they said was, you know, we can't do this alone. So a couple of years ago, they held a summit called the LifeX Summit, and invited other city departments to the summit to talk about what all we could do to help improve the life expectancy of Kansas City, because obviously the health department can't do this alone. So they did a presentation, and my boss, the deputy director, Terry Reinhardt, was there. And one of the things that stuck out the most was some of the data you were referring to, Joe, and that in six zip codes that are in the middle of the city, in the urban core, life expectancy can be as much as 12 years lower for those residents living in those zip codes. And so my boss, at middle of, 2 a.m. in the morning, texts me and says, hey, we got to do something about this. And so when we first started, we sat down and talked to the health department, met with Dr. Sarah Martin Anderson over there and her team, who was responsible for the CHIP CHIP program there. And we said, hey, what can we do? And we first started talking about, hey, we can offer free memberships to our community centers and free exercise classes. And we said, yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. But as we started talking more and more, we started realizing life expectancy is much more than just health classes or Zumba classes. And when we start talking about life expectancy and increasing people's life expectancy, you're really starting to talk about really really big topics like social isolation, which is a big topic right now. One of the real big things that people talk about is a determinant in life expectancy, how isolated you feel from the rest of your community. Obviously, chronic disease and all those things are easy to talk about. But this idea that we kept coming back to is like, can you go and borrow a cup of sugar from your neighbor, right? And I can tell you that doesn't happen a lot. I remember growing up and it was not a thing to go borrow food from your neighbor or egg or sugar. That rarely happens these days for whatever reason. So we started talking about how do we promote this, community cohesiveness. So what started off as just free passes to community centers really evolved into this kind of all-consuming program that we're working on now, and not just offering community center passes, but putting somebody like Sasha in charge of the program who's going to communicate with you and check on you and ask you if you, why you haven't been to the center. And ideally, the people in the program are going to check on each other and call each other and say, hey, Ms. Johnson, I haven't seen you in a week. Everything okay? We have field trips and socializing activities. We're actually building in a leadership training for those residents, for those participants who are interested. And it's all about how do you build capacity in your neighborhoods, how do you advocate for resources for yourself. So it's really grown into this bigger, giant program that actually started making us as a parks department look at how we do business, not just in my division, but when we talk about deferred maintenance, which is just a word for saying, like, when things break, how do we go about fixing them? And oftentimes, we fix them when somebody calls us. When somebody says, hey, the park down my street, the slide's broken, can you guys come fix that? And it's like you would normally think. The people, we get those calls a lot from the people in those higher life expectancy zip codes, because they tend to be a lot more engaged. They don't have as much on their plate to worry about sometimes. And so we end up spending a lot of our resources and time outside of those zip codes that need it the most. So it really caused us to take a look at how we're doing business, and we came to the conclusion we need to be more proactive about putting resources, and that could be maintenance dollars, that could be capital money, building infrastructure, that could be programming dollars into those zip codes that actually need it the most on a more proactive basis. So it's turned into a huge conversation here in our department about how do we prioritize those zip codes, how do we prioritize social equity and look at everything that we do through this lens of social equity so that we're putting our resources where they are needed the most. And that does mean sometimes you might get away from the squeaky wheel kind of mentality where you wait for somebody to call you to fix it and actually going out there and looking at those neighborhoods that need walkable trails and need a good park for their kids to play at, but it's not at the top of their priority list every day, so they might not call us if I don't let us know.
So, Sasha, what ages is the Life X program designed for? Who can enroll, and what ages are you looking for?
16 and up with consent from a parent.
So anybody in Kansas City that is age 16 and over that has a parent consent, or age 21. So what's the oldest person that you may have in the program
I just had a lady who wanted to sign up for the LifeX program. She was 91.
Wow. So that's definitely a blessing. What? So are the citizens who participate in the LifeX program available to use the same type of programs that other people who attend the community centers are? Or do you have any special programming also designed that Roosevelt mentioned?
Yes, they can use the ongoing programs that we already currently do have, but we also have special programming for these particular group of people.
I know you, I'm a member of the LifeX program, and you have a flyer that you send out every month. Can you tell us just a little bit about that and some of the things you all may be having going on in the future?
Yeah, so in the newsletter, we just have upcoming events. We have motivationals. We have shout-outs, and you're on that list for one of the March top contributors for LifeX. You've been using your pass, so we recognize all that. And we just have upcoming programs, ongoing programs, and things like that.
I know March is Natural Nutrition Month, and that's one of your topics that you have on there. So talking to people about, you know, how to really put together a plate. I know you said in the future there's some opportunity to maybe have some other partners come in and teach classes. I know, but part of where you live determining how you live, but the one thing that people have to also have is a way to make an income. And I saw that on the LifeX program, one of the things you are going to have is a job fair. Can you talk a little bit about that and when the date's going to be?
Yes, I can. So it was an opportunity presented to me by QPS. And so the job fair is going to be Tuesday, March 27th from 11 to 2 at Greg Kleist Community Center. And that's on over there in the Jazz District.
1600 John Buck O'Neill Way.
Exactly. So we encourage everyone to come out to the job fair on March 27th at Greg Kleist Community Center. QPS has a lot of jobs and different opportunities for everyone of all ages. We have the St. Patrick's Day Parade coming up, so we wanted to let the LifeX members know about that. We have the Snake Parade.
Yes, Snake Parade, but also the basketball tournament.
And the basketball tournament, the Sam Lacy Tournament that's happening at Greg Kleist Community Center and also Southeast Community Center.
So when is the LifeX program scheduled to end?
The LifeX program is scheduled to end in 2020.
Okay. So there are plans to be looking at what can be done with the data that you all have learned and how I can really continue to really serve the community?
Yes. The health department analyzes the data to see if life expectancy has increased or decreased based on participation of this new incentive.
So, Roosevelt, how important is increasing...
Can I just comment on that real quick and say,
sure.
You know, one of the things that, as a parks department, we're always interested in is participation and what gets people to a program or to a center. And so one of the things we really want to get out of this is what's the best way to communicate with our citizens to get them into a program or get them into a center. And really looking at this kind of model, this cohort model, a group of people going through the program together with a, you know, they all start together and they all kind of end together, and seeing if that's a way to increase participation. So if so, then we definitely think it's probably going to be worth duplicating that and continuing a program like this, either on a smaller scale or whatever we need to do.
Roosevelt, how important is increasing the life expectancy for Kansas City metropolitan area? What are some of the benefits for the city?
Yeah, you know, I wish we had somebody from health because they have all the data and all the facts. But for us, why it's important, you know, if you were to look at the Parks and Rec mission statement, the first words on there are to improve the quality of life for Kansas City citizens. So it's very important for us. It's the whole reason we're here. And we talk a lot about getting away from just measuring, you know, the widgets, like we say, you know, how many people are coming, how much money we're making. But really getting at how do people feel about their neighborhood, about their community, about the city. Perception of how you feel really does affect how you actually feel. So if you feel better about your health, and our survey that we administer throughout this program really is about people self-reporting and how do they physically feel. Do they feel better? Do they feel more connected? When you feel more connected,
you can see people tend to feel a lot healthier and do a lot better and feel like they're more able to cope with life and the struggles that come along with it. So just increasing people's perception of their health and wellness is, I would say, just as important as increasing people's actual, you know, decreasing somebody's blood sugar or whatever the case may be. I think that perception of how they feel about it is just as important.
How important is the healthcare safety net? I know that we have a healthcare safety net funded in Kansas City by a levy, but people that are healthy or exercise would have less ER visits. You hope they would have less ER visits, less doctor visits, which would then, it should theoretically lessen the strain that's on our healthcare safety net. You know, also if you're educating people on illnesses, sick, you know, getting sick, going to the doctor, those things should really help the city's fragile healthcare safety net.
Yeah, definitely. And if I could just talk, in again, health department's a great resource for this information, about just as an example here with the city of Kansas City employs some 3,000 or something people. Health department's been talking lately about how 85 or 86% of those individuals are either overweight or obese. Well, that often comes with more work injuries, so that's time off of work. If you don't have vacation time or sick time saved up, then you're probably going to be missing out on money there. It comes with employees just missing more work, not performing as well as they should be. If you're thinking about your health all the time and you have a bunch of aches and pains, you're probably not going to be your most productive at work. If you're not eating properly, you're probably not going to be your most productive at work. So I'm sure somebody somewhere has quantified the toll that poor health has, not to mention simply by increased health insurance costs. When you have a sick workforce that requires more medical attention, well, your insurance rates are going to go up. These are things that, you know, obviously the city residents have to bear because they're paying for these services. So just in the microcosm that is the city of Kansas City, and a lot of our employees actually live in those six zip codes, and a lot of our parks employees live in those six zip codes also. So it's in our best interest to actually help improve their health, if for no other reason than to make our department and make our city workforce more productive, but also just because it's the right thing to do.
You talked about something that was this definitely also key. This is a problem that's bigger than just what the city can do, but how important is access to fresh fruits and vegetables to the health of the community? You know, how important is a grocery store? This is one of the things I live in the third district, and we didn't have a good supermarket. Country Mart closed about 10, 15 years ago. Well, actually, say no, about almost 20 years ago. But now the city is revamping that, and that grocery store is going to open up in June. But that's not only just a good source of food, but it's also jobs. How important are things like that to the life expectancy of people?
Yeah, it's extremely important. Again, you know, I always want to say, you know, I think a lot of the data right now that's coming out is talks a lot about isolation as being one of those main drivers of life expectancy. But, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you should eat right. And I'd say, you know, going back to Sasha's on the programming side, you know, one of the things we're going to include in here is a nutritionist and nutrition coaching, which I think is extremely important. You can never know enough about what you're eating. If you want to improve your health, so the education part is important, but as well as the access. So it's one thing to tell people they need to eat, you know, more fruit and all that kind of stuff, but if you walk to your store and there's no fruit there, or it's high, or it's the price is too high, or it's not good quality, then yeah, it's really easy choice when you're on the go and when you're hungry and when you only have a few dollars in your pocket to choose an unhealthy choice. So yeah, access and education about healthy options and nutrition go hand in hand, and they're extremely important to our communities that are underserved right now.
We talked about health. We talked about How important is the environment where people are born, they live, they work and play and worship that also affects their quality of life? You know, if you've got a lot of crime, if different things, this is just a huge, you know, there's a lot of different things. When I went on a police ride along, you know, I saw that 90% of the police calls were to addresses where they'd been to before and the police knew those people, you know. But how important is it to have a safe, healthy workplace where people can get out? You know, we're a bike city, walkability. How important are those things to people's quality of life?
Again, I can't stress it enough. And one of the things that we're including, you know, as far as this program, and it's kind of helped us think more about is what we call the built environment. And that's, you know, your sidewalks, your parks, all the stuff that's built out there. And again, looking at, it's one thing to have a park in your neighborhood, but if you can't walk to it safely, you know, on a sidewalk or on a trail, then, it makes it extremely difficult to take your kids over there and to play at that park. So, the built environment is something, and we know that, you know, when we talk about those six zip codes there in the middle of the city, they're some of our oldest infrastructure, that needs to be repaired or rebuilt or, just there needs to be more of an investment in there. So we recognize that not everybody's going to make it to a community center, and that's just fine, but everybody should have access to a safe park. We actually, one of our partners in this is Children's Mercy, and they're talking about park safety, and so are we, and making sure that our parks are not only accessible, you know, walkable, but also that they're safe, and trying to get rid of some of the, you know, undesired activity that can happen in open space.
Sasha, is there a website where people can learn more about the Kansas City Parks and Recs Department and the activities and programs that you all offer?
Yes, it'll be www.kcparks.org.
And can you give, if somebody's interested, are you still taking applications for the LifeX program? And if somebody's interested, could they call you? Do you have any contact information? You can also answer questions for people about the LifeX program.
Yes, so we are currently full for the LifeX program right now. We will be accepting new participants in April and looking forward to have 150 new participants. So if you are interested in the LifeX program, get a pen and paper. I'm going to give you my information. It's Sasha, S-A-S-H-A, and the number is 816-513-0736. I'm at Brush Creek Community Center. You want to sign up for the LifeX program.
And what zip codes do people need to reside in order to be a part of this program?
64126, 64127, 64128, 64129, 64130, and 64132.
So there you have it, folks. You've got the opportunity come April to sign up for the program. So I would like to thank Sasha and Roosevelt for being our guests today on Cowtown Conversations. But we never end without our Community Minute. And absentee voting has started for the April school board election and the city election. So if you need information on receiving an absentee ballot, contact the Kansas City Election Board at 30 West Pershing Road, Kansas City, Missouri, 64108. Their phone number is 816-842-4820, or you can go online at kceb.org. Reminder, spring forward this Saturday. Daylight savings time starts this weekend, so we all need to set our clocks 1 hour ahead Sunday evening when we go to bed. Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City will have an open house at their new location, 6025 Prospect, on Wednesday, March 21st from 2 to 4 p.m. Come out and learn about the new many programs and services they provide for the community. And for those of you that haven't done your taxes yet, Next Step KC operates several Internal Revenue-sponsored voluntary income tax assistance programs sites within the Kansas City. VITA sites offer free tax help to hardworking taxpayers with incomes below $60,000 and below who cannot prepare their own income taxes. You can call 211 to locate a site near you or go online at nextstepskc.org tax preparation. They have a huge facility right there located at the corner of Linwood and Woodland, so in the Connecting for Good building, so you can always stop by. They do it Monday through Friday. So join us next week, and our guest will be Gentry Cobb, licensed clinical social worker, and we will be discussing school safety and how to talk to your students and your children about things that happen in school. For Cowtown Conversations, this has been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great and wonderful day, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.